39. Heterochromatic. 4 years ago. Father held feasts because he wanted to pretend that everything was all right. He invited local bright lords from nearby hamlets. He fed them and gave them wine. He displayed his daughter. Then the next day after everyone was gone, he sat at his table and listened to his scribes tell him how impoverished he had grown. Shallan saw him afterwards sometimes, holding his forehead, staring straight ahead at nothing. For tonight, however, they feasted and pretended.
"You've met my daughter, of course," Father said, gesturing to Shallan as his guests were seated. "The jewel of House Devar, our pride above all others."
The visitors, light eyes from two valleys over, nodded politely as Father's parshman brought wine. Both the drink and the slaves were a way to display riches Father didn't actually possess. Shallan had begun helping with the accounts, her duty as daughter. She knew the truth of their finances. The evening's chill was offset by the crackling hearth. This room might have felt homey somewhere else. Not here. The servants poured her wine. Yellow, mildly intoxicating. Father drank violet, prepared in its strength. He settled himself down at the high table which ran the width of the room, the same room where Helleran had threatened to kill him a year and a half ago. They'd received a brief letter from Helleran 6 months back, along with a book by the famous Yasna Kolin for Shallan to read. Shallan had read his note to her father in a trembling whisper. It hadn't said much, mostly veiled threats. That night, Father had beaten one of the maids near to death. Isan still walked with a limp. The servants no longer gossiped about Father having killed his wife. "Nobody does anything at all to resist him," Shallan thought, glancing toward her father. "We're all too scared." Shallan's three other brothers sat in a huddled knot at their own table. They avoided looking at their father or interacting with the guests. Several small sphere goblets glowed on the tables, but the room as a whole could have used more light. Neither spheres nor hearth light were enough to drive out the gloom. She thought that her father liked it that way. The visiting light eyes, Bright Lord Tavanar, was a slender, well-dressed man with a deep red silk coat. He and his wife sat close together at the high table, their teenage daughter between them. Shallan had not caught her name. As the evening progressed, Father tried to speak to them a few times, but they gave only terse responses. For all that it was supposed to be a feast, nobody seemed to be enjoying themselves. The visitors looked as if they wished they'd never accepted the invitation, but Father was more politically important than they, and good relations with him would be valuable. Shallan picked at her own food, listening to her father boast about his new axe-hound breeding stud. He spoke of their prosperity. Lies. She did not want to contradict him. He had been good to her. He was always good to her. Yet, shouldn't someone do something? Helleran might have. He'd left them. "It's growing worse and worse. Someone needs to do something, say something to change, Father. He shouldn't be doing the things that he did, growing drunk, beating the dark eyes." The first course passed. Then Shallan noticed something. Balat, whom Father had started calling Non-Balat as if he were the oldest, kept glancing at the guests. That was surprising. He usually ignored them. Tavanar's daughter caught his eye, smiled, then looked back at her food. Shallan blinked. Balat? And a girl? How odd to consider. Father didn't seem to notice. He eventually stood and raised his cup to the room.
"Tonight we celebrate. Good neighbors. Strong wine."
Tavanar and his wife hesitantly raised their cups. Shallan had only just begun to study propriety. It was hard to do as her tutors kept leaving. but she knew that a good Vorin Brightlord was not supposed to celebrate drunkenness. Not that they wouldn't get drunk, but it was the Vorin way not to talk about it. Such niceties were not her father's strong point.
"It is an important night," Father said, after taking a sip of his wine. "I have just received word from Brightlord Gevelmar, whom I believe you know, Tavenor. I have been without a wife for too long. Brightlord Gevelmar is sending his youngest daughter along with writs of marriage. My Ardents will perform the service at the end of the month, and I will have a wife."
Shallan felt cold. She pulled her shawl closer. The aforementioned Ardents sat at their own table, dining silently. The three men were graying in equal measure, and had served long enough to know Shallan's grandfather as a youth. They treated her with kindness, however, and studying with them brought her pleasure, when all other things seemed to be collapsing.
"Why does no one speak?" Father demanded, turning around the room. "I've just become betrothed. You look like a bunch of storming Alethi. We're Vaden. Make some noise, you idiots."
The visitors clapped politely, though they looked even more uncomfortable than they had before. Balat and the twins shared looks, and then lightly thumped the table.
"To the void with all of you."
Father slumped back into his chair as his parchmen approached the low table, each bearing a box.
"Gifts for my children to mark the occasion," Father said with a wave of the hand. "Don't know why I bother. Bah!"
He drank the rest of his wine. The boys got daggers, very fine pieces engraved like shard blades. Shallan's gift was a necklace of fat, silvery links. She held it silently. Father didn't like her speaking much at feasts, though he always placed her table close to the high table. He never shouted at her, not directly. Sometimes she wished he would. Maybe then Jushu wouldn't resent her so. The door to the feast hall slammed open. The poor light revealed a tall man in dark clothing standing at the threshold.
"What is this?"
Father demanded, rising, slamming his hands on the table.
"Who interrupts my feast?"
The man strode in. His face was so long and slender it looked as if it had been pinched. He wore ruffles at the cuffs of his soft maroon coat, and the way he pursed his lips made him look as if he'd just found a latrine that had overflowed in the rain. One of his eyes was intense blue, the other dark brown, both light-eyed and dark. Shallan felt a chill. A Devar House servant dashed up to the high table, then whispered to Father. Shallan did not catch what was said, but whatever it was, it drained the thunder right out of Father's expression. He remained standing, but his jaw dropped. A handful of servants in maroon livery filed in around the newcomer. He stepped forward with a precise air, as if choosing his steps with some care to avoid stepping in anything.
"I have been sent by His Highness, High Prince Valum, ruler of these lands. It has come to his attention that dark rumors persist in these lands. Rumors regarding the death of a light-eyed woman."
He met Father's eyes.
"My wife was killed by her lover," Father said, "who then killed himself."
"Others tell a different story, Brightlord Lindavar," the newcomer said. "Such rumors are troublesome. They provoke dissatisfaction with His Highness. If a Brightlord under his rule were to have murdered a light-eyed woman of rank, it is not something he can ignore."
Father did not respond with the outrage Shallan would have predicted. Instead, he waved his hands toward Shallan and the visitors.
"Away," he said. "Give me space. You there, messenger, let us speak alone. No need to drag mud into the hallway."
The Tavenars rose, looking all too eager to be going. The girl did glance back at Balat as they left, whispering softly. Father looked toward Shallan, and she realized she'd frozen in place again at the mention of her mother, sitting at her table just before the high table.
"Child," Father said softly, "go sit with your brothers."
She withdrew, passing the messenger as he stepped up to the high table.
"Those eyes."
It was Reddin, the High Prince's bastard son. His father used him as an executioner and assassin, it was said. Since her brothers hadn't been explicitly banished from the room, they took chairs around the hearth, far enough away to give Father privacy. They left a spot for Shallan, and she settled down, the fine silk of her dress rumpling. The voluminous way it enveloped her made her feel as if she weren't really there, and only the dress mattered. The High Prince's bastard settled down at the table with Father. At least someone was confronting him. But what if the High Prince's bastard decided Father was guilty? What then? Inquest? She didn't want Father to fall. She wanted to stop the darkness that was slowly strangling them all. It seemed like their light had gone out when Mother died.
When Mother?
Shallan? Balat asked.
Are you well?
She shook herself. Can I see the daggers? They looked quite fine from my table. Wikim just stared at the fire, but Balat tossed his to her. She caught it clumsily, then pulled it from its sheath, admiring the way the metal folds reflected the hearth light. The boys watched the flame spren dance on the fire. The three brothers never talked anymore. Balat glanced over his shoulder toward the high table.
I wish I could hear what was being said, he whispered. Maybe they'll drag him away. That would be fitting for what he's done.
He didn't kill Mother, Shallan said softly.
Oh, Balat snorted. Then what did happen?
She didn't know. She couldn't think. Not of that time, that day. Had Father actually done it? She felt cold again despite the fire's warmth. The silence returned. Someone needed to do something.
They're talking about plants, Shallan said.
Balat and Jushu looked at her. Wakim continued staring at the fire.
Plants,
Balat said flatly.
Yes, I can hear them faintly.
I can't hear a thing.
Shallan shrugged from within her too enveloping dress.
My ears are better than yours. Yes, plants. Father is complaining that the trees in his gardens never listen when he tells them to obey. They have been dropping their leaves because of a sickness, he says, and they refuse to grow new ones.
Have you tried beating them for their disobedience? The messenger asks.
All the time, Father replies. I even break off their limbs, yet they still do not obey. It is untidy. At the very least, they should clean up after themselves.
A problem, the messenger says, as trees without foliage are hardly worth keeping.
Fortunately, I have the solution. My cousin once had trees that acted this way, and he found that all he needed to do was sing to them, and their leaves popped right back out.
Of course, Father says. I will try that immediately.
I hope that works for you.
Well, if it does, I will certainly be relieved.
Her brothers stared at her, baffled. Finally, Jushu cocked his head. He was the youngest of the brothers, just above Shallan herself.
Relieved.
Balat burst into laughter. Loud enough that their father glared at them.
Oh, that is awful, Balat said. That is purely awful, Shallan. You should be ashamed.
She huddled down in her dress, grinning. Even Wikim, the older twin, cracked a smile. She hadn't seen him smile in how long? Balat wiped his eyes.
I actually thought for a moment you could really hear them. You little void-bringer.
He let out a deep breath.
Storms, but that felt good.
We should laugh more, Shallan said.
This hasn't been a place for laughter, Jushu said, sipping his wine.
Because of Father? Shallan asked. There's one of him and four of us. We just need to be more optimistic.
Being optimistic does not change facts, Balat said. I wish Helleran hadn't left.
He thumped his fist down on the side of his chair. Do not begrudge him his travels, Tet Balat, Shallan said softly. There are so many places to see, places we will probably never visit. Let one of us go to them. Think of the stories he will bring back to us, the colors.
Balat looked across the drab, black rock room, with its muted hearths glowing red-orange. Colors. I wouldn't mind a little more color around here.
Jushu smiled.
Anything would be a nice change from Father's face.
Now don't be down on Father's face, Shallan said. It's quite adept at doing its duty.
Which is?
Reminding us all that there are worse things than his odor. It's really quite a noble calling.
Shallan, Wakim said.
He looked dramatically unlike Jushu. Spindly and sunken-eyed, Wakim had hair cut so short he almost looked like an Ardent.
Don't say such things where Father could hear.
He's engrossed in conversation, Shallan said. But you are right. I probably shouldn't mock our family. House Devar is distinctive and enduring.
Jushu raised his cup.
Wakim nodded sharply. Of course, she added. The same could be said for a wart. Jushu just about spat out his wine. Balat let out another roaring laugh.
Stop that racket, Father shouted at them. It's a feast, Balat called back. Did you not ask us to be more Vaden?
Father glared at him, then returned to his conversation with the messenger. The two huddled together at the high table, Father's posture supplicating, the High Prince's bastard sitting back with an arched eyebrow and a still face.
Storms, Shallan, Balat said. When did you become so clever?
Clever? She didn't feel clever. Suddenly, the forwardness of what she'd said caused her to shrink back into her chair. These things, they'd simply slid out of her mouth. Those are just things I read in a book.
Well, you should read more of those books, small one, Balat said. It seems brighter in here for it.
Father slammed his hand down on the table, shaking cups, rattling plates. Shallan glanced at him, worried as he pointed his finger at the messenger and said something. It was too soft and far away for Shallan to make it out, but she knew that look in her father's eyes. She had seen it many times before he took his cane, or even once the fireplace poker, to one of the servants. The messenger stood up in a smooth motion. His refinement seemed a shield that rebuffed Father's temper. Shallan envied him.
It appears I will get nowhere with this conversation, the messenger said loudly.
He looked at Father, but his tone seemed to imply that his words were for them all.
I came prepared for that inevitability. The High Prince has given me authority, and I would very much like to know the truth of what happened in this household. Any light eyes of birth who can provide witness will be welcomed.
They need the testimony of a light eyes, Jushu said softly to his siblings. Father is important enough that they can't just remove him.
There was one, the messenger said loudly, who was willing to speak to us of the truth. He has since made himself unavailable. Do any of you have his courage? Will you come with me and testify to the High Prince of the crimes committed on these lands?
He looked toward the four of them. Shallan huddled in her chair, trying to look small. Wakim didn't look away from the flames. Jushu looked like he might stand, but then turned to his wine, cursing his face growing red. Balat. Balat grabbed the sides of his chair as if to stand, but then glanced at Father. That intensity in Father's eyes remained. When his rage was red-hot, he yelled, he threw things at the servants.
It was now when his rage became cold that he grew truly dangerous. This was when Father got quiet. This was when the yelling stopped. Father's yelling, at least.
"He'll kill me,"
Balad whispered.
"If I say a word, he'll kill me."
His earlier bravado melted away. He seemed not a man any longer, but a youth, a terrified teenager.
"You could do it, Shallan,"
Wakim hissed at her.
"Father won't dare hurt you. Besides, you actually saw what happened."
"I didn't," she whispered.
"You were there."
"I don't know what happened. I don't remember it."
"It didn't happen. It didn't."
A log shifted in the hearth. Balat stared at the floor and did not stand. None of them would. A whirling group of translucent flower petals stirred among them, fading into view. Shame spread.
"I see," the messenger said. "If any of you remember the truth at some point in the future, you will find willing ears in Vaidenar."
"You will not tear this house apart, bastard,"
Father said, standing.
"We stand by one another."
"Save for those who can no longer stand, I assume."
"Leave this house."
The messenger gave Father a look of disgust, a demeaning sneer. It said, "I am a bastard, but even I am not as low as you." He then left, sweeping from the room and gathering his men outside, his terse orders indicating that he wished to be back on the road despite the late hour, on another errand beyond Father's estates. Once he was gone, Father placed both of his hands on the table and breathed out deeply.
"Go,"
he said to the four of them, lowering his head. They hesitated.
"Go!"
Father roared. They fled the room, Shallan scrambling after her brothers. She was left with the sight of her father sinking down into his seat, holding his head. The gift he'd given her, the fine necklace, sat forgotten in the opened box on the table just before him.